In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with Leatrice Joy and Jeffrey Lynn. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one news-making program. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out, a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC radio network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
It had snowed during the night, a thick, wet snow that bowed the pine trees and banked over the pink boulders, turning them white. I found myself lying under a good, heavy 6 inches of it when I woke up.
Oh, gee whiz.
Old Scar, he looked like a white-whiskered burro over there, standing beside what was left of the campfire, trying to shake himself dry. All right, take it easy, boy. I'll just wait till I get the fire started again. The wood I'd gathered up the night before was pretty wet, so I got a hand axe out of my pack and I headed over toward a little hill about a quarter of a mile away. Since the wind had been from the north, I figured some of the brush on the far side might still be drying up for burning. Yeah, it wasn't very easy climbing. A couple of times I went in and way over my knees. But the snow was already beginning to melt fast, even though the sun hadn't splashed into the sky yet. And that meant we'd be able to start off in an hour or so. By then, the stuff would be thinned down to mostly mud and water. I hit the crest of the hill and looked around. The south side sliced away at a good sharp angle, and the ground was fairly dry. I spotted a couple of dead oak saplings lying on the ground about 10 feet below me. It seemed likely they'd catch fire without too much trouble. I was kind of surprised to find oaks growing at this altitude. Even so, I there's some bothering Scar. Probably a jackrabbit or squirrel or something. He sure was making a lot of racket. Wasn't like him to get upset unless it... Well, that wasn't a jackrabbit. There's a whole lot more than that. I dropped my axe and I climbed back to the top of the hill as fast as I could climb. The sun was inching over the rim of Spooner Range, and at first the reflection off the snow blinded me. When I got my eyes focused, I saw the fella standing beside Scar, trying to cinch the saddle onto his back.
Hey, you! Hey, let that horse alone!
He looked up, and for a minute he just stood there, as though he didn't know exactly what to do next. Then he jerked the leather tight and he put his foot in the stirrup. Scar wasn't being very helpful, but it didn't keep the fellow from mounting up. I knew I couldn't make it through the snow before they rode off, and I sure didn't like the idea of chancing a shot, not with Scar rearing the way he was. But I didn't have much choice. My first shot was wide, maybe 5-6 feet, and Scar was taking the spur and sort of starting to move in spite of himself, and another minute or two, they'd be out of range. Now, that was a little close, but not close enough. Bullet must have caught the fella high on the leg. He twisted around and tried to get a hold of the pommel, but his fingers slipped off, and I saw him slide into the snow. I couldn't see whether he had a gun or not, but I found out soon enough. I dived behind a clump of pine. There was a clearing between us, and he was using a boulder for cover. A little spray of snow told me I'd chipped the rock right in front of him. I waited for him to answer my fire, but there wasn't a sound from that side. Maybe he was just waiting, too, hoping I'd get anxious and come out in the open. Well, I wasn't going to be that obliging. He still didn't answer. I reloaded my gun. I edged over to the right. If I could just circle without him seeing me, maybe I could come up behind him. About 20 minutes later, I managed to skirt around the clearing. He was up front of me now, just a couple of boulders away. I got up on my haunches and I charged. And then I saw why I'd been so quiet. He was sprawled out face down on the snow, staining it red. It wasn't just his leg that was doing the bleeding, either. There was a bullet hole in the small of his back, and the piece of cloth fastened over it had come loose. His gun was lying beside him, within easy reach. I picked it up. There was still one bullet that hadn't been fired. He started coming to, and I eased him over on his side, and his eyes kind of half opened, and it's just like his lids were too heavy for him to rise all the way.
I stole a lot of things in my time, but I ain't never been a horse thief before.
All right, you better take it easy.
What's the difference? I'm not gonna pull out of this anyhow. I guess I'm lucky. Dying here's a whole lot better than being caught. I always said they'd never hang me. All their rewards, wanted posters, just a waste of time. I told them they'd never hang Ace Tressler.
Tressler?
You heard of me, ain't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of you.
Everybody's heard of Ace Tressler.
One way or another.
Too bad it wasn't your shot that did it, mister. You could collect a mighty fancy reward. About $3,000 it must total up to. And that's not counting yesterday.
Yesterday?
Stage depot. Over to Sunset. Fell in charge. He didn't like the idea of being held up. That's how I got this bullet in my back.
Oh?
But I took care of him. He won't be shooting nobody else.
You killed Sam Fletcher?
I don't know his name, mister. You don't expect a fella to know the names of all the men he shoots, do you?
How'd you get out here without a horse? It's a good 20 miles from Sunset.
I had my pony till just a couple of hours ago. All that snow coming down, he sort of missed his foot. Hurt himself bad.
I'd say.
I sure hated having to put him out of his misery. He was a fine horse. Best I have owned. It's a rotten shame. Man having to kill a horse like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason I tried to take yours. I had to have some kind of mount. There's a posse on my trail. I never stole a horse before, mister. I ain't no horse thief.
Well, you think you can hang on if I heist you onto the saddle?
What for?
Well, you need a doctor. Scar can carry us both.
Only doctors in Sunset.
That's right.
I'd never make it that far. Can't you see I'd never make it that far?
Well, you can try.
No. No, I'm not going back there. We might run into posse along that way.
Yeah, we might.
He'd string me up. Even though there was dive and string me in. And I swore that nobody'd hang me. I swore.
All right, turn over on your face here. I'll put that bandage back.
Listen, mister, you can't let them hang me. I'll be dead anyway. Just a few hours. You can stay here and then you can take me back. You can say you done it. Collect a reward for yourself. $3,000, miss.
All right, come on, turn over.
As long as I'm dying anyhow, let me die out here. Why do you want to give me chance to lynch me?
Nobody's going to lynch you, Tressler.
Give me your word.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't let me down, mister. I swore that they'd never hang Ace Tressler.
He passed out again, but he was still alive, still hanging on by a thread. I managed to get a couple of makeshift bandages fastened onto him. The bleeding seemed to have let up a little. His leg wasn't hurt too bad. The bullet just sort of went through the flesh, and it didn't look like it had broken anything. But the wound in his back, that was more serious. As far as I could tell, the bullet had just gone all the way into his chest. I picked him up, and I laid him across Scar's back. Then I looped a rope around his body and tried to fix it so that he wouldn't slide around too much. It wasn't going to be a very comfortable ride, but as long as he was unconscious, I just wouldn't know it. All right, let's go, boy. Come on. We weren't able to make very good time with Scar carrying both of us through all that slush. It was almost 2 hours later before we came to the main Sunset Trail. And just as we turned on, I spotted the posse. At least what I figured was the posse. Five men loping along toward us from the east. Doc Prince headed the procession. He was the local dentist. And I recognized Ty Barstow and Frosty Ender right behind them. Two boys bringing up the rear. I didn't look familiar. They'd probably moved into Sunset since the last time I was there. Whoa, boy. Whoa. Whoa, boy.
Well, howdy, Britt.
Hello, Doc.
Well, boys, what'd I tell you? I said he was Britt Ponsett.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
Easy, girl. Easy. I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. I'm Cliff Slauson. And this here's Harve North.
How are you?
Hi.
Yes, sir. I recognize you the minute you come into sight. I said, there's a six-shooter, I said. And I guess there's nothing the matter with my eyes.
Appears like you're carrying quite a load, Britt. What happened?
It's Art Tressler.
Huh?
Tressler?
No.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Let's see here. Yes, it's him, all right. Leastways, it sure looks like them pictures on the posters.
Well, if that don't take the cake...
This neighborhood's getting to be a real outlaw's haven, I reckon.
Well, maybe they'll change their mind about hanging around after they find out what happened today.
Yeah,
we've done a pretty good job of taking in the welcome mat.
Pretty good. If you ask me, we set a record. With Ponsett's help, of course.
Oh, you boys didn't need any help from me. You would have found Tressler yourselves for very long.
Well, what are you talking about, Britt? We didn't have the faintest idea he was in these parts.
I'm sure, we were already on our way back to town.
You mean you weren't looking for him?
Of course not.
Well, what are you doing out here, then? I thought you were a posse.
We are a posse. But we were hunting George Rabbit.
Rabbit?
Yeah, you remember him, don't you? Robbed Phil Jeffers' general store a couple of years back. Almost killed old man Jeffers.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, sir, he broke out of jail a week ago. The one over to Polk City. And what do you think he did? He headed straight for Sunset and he tried to pull another robbery.
Yeah, only this time he did kill Sam Fletcher while he was at it.
Now, just hold on a minute here, boys. Now, you're trying to tell me that you're looking for George Rabbit and that you think he's responsible for the robbery at the stage depot last night.
Think? We know it, Britt.
Of course we do.
But we ain't looking for him anymore. We found him.
What?
Yeah, just a couple hours ago, hiding in a cabin over by Walnut Creek.
That's right, and he won't be pulling no more holdups, neither. We saw to that.
No, boys, now, you better let me explain this, Britt. He might think we was kind of hasty this morning.
Yeah.
It isn't as if we didn't give Rabbit a trial.
A trial?
Well, there was no doubt about his being guilty, Britt. And seeing as how there's no judge in Sunset, and we'd have to wait till next spring for a formal hanging... Well, we sort of speeded things up a mite.
You didn't string him up yourself.
Well, not very high up, just a couple of feet off the ground.
Now, boys, wait just a minute now. Now, Britt, there's no point in your looking so all-fired serious. There's nothing anybody can do about it now.
Well, that's true enough, Doc. Yeah, there's nothing anybody can do.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six shooter in just a moment. Now, hear this. Within the next 20 seconds, a fire will break out somewhere in the United States. Lives may be lost, property damaged, homes or buildings destroyed. There are 4,600 fires in America every day of the year. They kill 11,000 persons and disfigure or severely burn thousands more. The unfortunate part of this picture is that most of these fires could be avoided. For example, 90% of all fires that start in the home can be traced to human carelessness. By obeying a few simple rules of fire prevention from now on, you and I can protect our homes and our families from this devastating menace. Rule one is, don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes carelessly. Rule two, go through your house and clean out old newspapers, magazines, and other inflammable debris. Rule three, promptly repair defective wiring as soon as you notice it. Fire won't wait until tomorrow. Rule four, use only those cleaning fluids which will not burn. And last but not least, be careful with matches. Keep them out of the reach of small children. Remember, it doesn't pay to gamble with fire. The odds are against you every time.